Today's talk is the last in a series of talks that are based on the book by Brené Brown called The Gifts of Imperfection. And so last week we talked about fun and play and creativity and creating, and how whether it is creating through painting a picture or creating a meal or writing a song or fixing a car, it doesn't really matter. Any time that we are creating, that we are actually creating meaning in our lives. And we create meaning in our lives whenever we are creating, I believe, because what happens when we are creating something, we are pouring ourselves out. We are pouring ourselves out and into whatever the thing is that we are creating. And in doing that, we get to experience our own inner beingness. We get to experience our own gifts and talents and our inner essence. The result of expressing like that is we get to experience who we are inside of us. It's kind of like a dam. If you think about it, a dam, it doesn't matter how much water is behind it. It can have so much water, and it doesn't experience that water until it opens up and the water flows through it. Then it gets an experience of that water. We get an experience of ourselves like that when we are creating something. Our essence flows through. And so the title of my talk today is Coming Alive. And today I'm talking about creating meaningful work. And I'm talking about using our gifts and our talents in creating and doing meaningful work. And so whether your vocation is part-time or full-time, whether your vocation is something that you get paid for, or that you volunteer for, or that you just get a stipend for, whether it's a vocation or an avocation, it doesn't really matter. Meaningful work, whatever it is, fills us up. It fills us up. And when we get to use our gifts and our talents in doing that meaningful work, the result is we then feel deeply satisfied. We feel filled up, we feel deeply satisfied, and we feel as if we've come alive. We've come alive because something has been called inside of us, and that call has been answered. And so actually, the word vocation comes from the word that means I call in Latin. I'm missing all my quotes up here. Isn't that interesting? Huh, all right. Oh, here we go. Nope, that's not it. Interesting. All right. That's really weird. Let me check really quick and see if they're in my bag here, because otherwise you're going to miss out on a bunch of things. Nope. Nope, that's not it either. Huh. Let me look one more time here. Here we go. Nope, these are songs. I have no idea. All righty. I'll have to make it up, like Harold does. So at least I remember that one. The word vocation comes from the Latin word that means I call. And so we feel alive when we're answering that call inside of us because it's our own divinity. It's the divine within us that is calling us to express it and to give way to it. And so we have a need to share our gifts and our talents because that's how we express ourselves. And we have a need to live with purpose because that's how we express our spirit. That's how we express our soul. And so the thing that makes us feel like we have come alive, the thing that makes our hearts so happy and that makes us feel passionate is the divinity within us calling us to express that. The divinity within us calling us for soul expression, for living with purpose. And so when we get to share those gifts and talents in a way that actually meets a need in the world, then we're living with a divine purpose. And so there's lots of things in our lives that keep us from expressing that divine purpose, that keep us from using our gifts and talents, and that keep us from actually doing meaningful work. And some of those are things like we think that we are supposed to care about money and not so much about meaning. Or maybe it's that your parents and your siblings believed that you would grow up to be a certain thing, to work in a certain job, and therefore there was an expectation that you would do that. And so you've bought into that expectation and answered their expectation. That's what you're living instead of the thing that calls to your heart and soul. Or maybe it's because you believe that you need to make all of your money doing just one thing. And the one thing that you're doing, while it pays, it isn't the thing that's heart-filling. And the thing that's heart-filling isn't making enough money for your whole entire career and your whole entire income. So you think, maybe I'm just not meant to do this. Or maybe this just isn't mine to do. Or if you're not making enough money at that one thing, maybe you think, maybe I'm really not even very good at this thing. Maybe you're not doing what calls your heart and soul because you're of retirement age and you think you're past that. So now you just get to relax and not do anything. Maybe you think that what you really love just isn't that important in the world. But you know what? None of those things are true. None of those things are true. And so in Brené Brown's book, she talks about an author who actually wrote about that. I'm not going to be able to find it. I already know that. Who knows? Anyway, she talks about an author that wrote a book, and it's called Career. It's called One Person, Multiple Careers. And she talks about the person who is a mother slash CEO, the person who is a writer slash doctor, the person who is, she fills in all these blanks of who these slash careers are. And the book is about creating a new paradigm for living with fulfillment in this world by doing what she calls the slash career, having two of them. Because what happens is our passion and our purpose is multifaceted. It's not just one thing that we're good at, and it's not just one thing that calls to our heart and our soul. It's not just one thing that we've come here to express and to share with the world. We express our passions and our gifts and our talents and our purpose through many different avenues. And so when in Brené Brown's book, when they asked her, she talked about when people ask her, so what do you do? How uncomfortable that is, because people put this primacy of work in the forefront, but just her work isn't all of who she is. And she does that slash thing. She says, I am a mother slash wife slash writer slash teacher slash workshop leader slash sister. All of these different aspects of how she shares her gifts and her talents and her purpose and what she's come here to be. Because it's not just one thing. We're not made to express through just one avenue. And so in class, one of the things we did this week that was so fun is we all got blank business cards. And we got to fill in those business cards about what do you do and who are you. And so my business card says Jennifer Spear, minister slash hairdresser slash teacher slash lover of people slash lover of nature slash lover of life slash spiritual person. All of those are pieces of who I am and how I express the things that make my heart happy in this world. We get to own all of our passions. We get to own all of those things that make our hearts happy. We get to own all of the things that make us come alive and feel alive. And so in The Gifts of Imperfection, she talks about that. And she says, well, let me say one thing first. What happens is that feels so fulfilling when we share those gifts and talents and passions, but when we don't do them through meaningful work, and when we don't share them and when we don't create meaningful work for ourselves, what happens is we don't thrive. And so she says, when we don't use our talents to cultivate meaningful work, we struggle. We feel disconnected and weighed down by feelings of emptiness, frustration, resentment, shame, disappointment, fear, and even grief. When we don't create meaningful work for ourselves, we don't feel fulfilled. We don't feel like we're thriving. And because we are growing, evolving beings, what that means is our gifts and our talents and our passions and our purpose grow and change over time. And so I have worked as a hairdresser for 37 years and have loved it. It is so satisfying to get to create something out of nothing. And it is so fun and fulfilling to get to connect with my clients and to get to love them and to get to be an avenue where someone feels seen and known and valued. It has always been so much fun to be a part of when people leave, they feel good. It's been so satisfying to do that. Until it wasn't enough. And it became not enough because I discovered inside of myself something that was more important, something that was deeper. And that was about soul discovery. That was about discovering our own spirituality. That was about discovering our spiritual wholeness and our connection with everyone and everything and the whole of things and the oneness of everything. And out of that, I became a minister. And so while the creativity of doing hair is super fun, and it is super fun, and loving people feels really good, and making people feel valued, all of those things fill me up, supporting you in your own spiritual discovery and discovering what is inside of you has become so much more fulfilling. Me supporting you in having an experience of conscious union with divinity itself is so much more deeply satisfying. That is soul fulfilling, and that feels like soul purpose to me. And so there's a story that I read that I'd like to share with you about a man named Joe Eichinger. His purpose is to create something that challenges people or helps them learn. It says, back in high school, Joe discovered a love for creativity and for the gift of performing. So he combined the two into teaching. He says, I like performing every day in front of the class instead of in public. He goes on to say, I'm good at conveying intangible things to students. But it wasn't until the death of his 3-year-old son that his purpose took a major turn. He says, it was a rough time. After Christmas break, I went back to teaching, and every child I looked at needed taking care of. And that, I knew, was my mission. His curriculum may have been art, but his lessons were about life. Take risks, believe in and defend your ideas, accept criticism intelligently. The kids understood I had a genuine concern for their welfare. I wanted them to succeed no matter what they did, to be lifelong learners. Every day there is something new to see and to change and to manipulate. And it worked. Even though Joe didn't fully realize it until his ex-students befriended him on Facebook, his former students. As they began befriending him, he says, I was overwhelmed by it. I didn't know that I had that much effect on them. But the way that we share our gifts and our talents and what our purpose is and how we are called to do that through meaningful work changes as we change and changes as our lives change. And so as we change, we are then called to share our gifts and our talents in a different way. And we each share them in a different way. While we may contain similar gifts and talents, it's kind of like fingerprints. They're all different and they're all unique because we express them differently, because we bring them forward differently than anybody else does. You might notice that Harold's music is different than, say, Margaret Owen's. That my ministry, you may have noticed, is different than any other minister, even teaching the same philosophy, because we come to it differently, and the parts that we think are important are different, and that's what we share. The way that you share your gifts and talents is different than anybody else in this entire world. And so when we listen to that call within us and we answer that call within us, we become a clear channel for the divine. And Howard Thurman has a fabulous way of saying it, but I don't have that with me. It was beautiful. You know what? Actually, one of those things is in this book. Give me just a second, because it was so great. Here it is. Look at this. Howard Thurman says, I love this. This is my favorite idea for the whole entire book. Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive, and then go and do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. I'm going to read it again because it's so powerful. Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and then go and do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. Think about it. When you have come alive, how different you are in this world. And when we find that thing inside of us and when we come alive, then we are being a clear channel for the divine. That is how we know what is ours to do, because it calls us like that. It's the thing that makes us come alive. And so what makes you come alive? What makes you come alive and feel alive? What do you feel passionate about? What makes your heart happy and makes your heart sing? Is it politics? Is it making sure that everybody has enough to eat? Is it doing real estate? Is it making sure that children have the tools that they need to have really great lives as adults? Is it equal rights for women? Is it listening? Is it taking care of animals? Is it taking care of the environment? What is the thing that makes you come alive when you're doing it? And I got some other questions off the internet, and they were things like, what could you read 100 books about and never get tired? What could you do 5 years straight and not get paid for? You know, when I first started teaching classes at church, one of my friends said to me, I think I was talking about, boy, I couldn't really make a living teaching this because the pay is not very good at all. And she says, yeah, but I have a question for you. Would you actually pay to be able to do that? And the answer was, absolutely, I would pay to be able to do this. What's the thing that feels like that inside of you would you pay to be able to do? What is the thing you don't get tired of? Answer those questions, and that is your soul speaking to you. That is the divine presence in you leading you into your most fulfilling life. That's leading you into your soul purpose. That thing that makes you come alive and makes your heart happy and that you feel passionate about, that's the divine leading you into your soul purpose. And the second question is to ask yourself, once you're clear about those things, because it probably just isn't one, what are the things that make you come alive? Then to ask yourself, how can what I do that makes my heart sing and makes me feel like I'm alive, how can I do that in a way that benefits others? That was the reading that Barbara did, Deepak Chopra, The Law of Dharma. How can my gifts and talents meet a need in the world so that the two come together and it serves other people, or it serves the world, or it serves humanity? that call inside of us that speaks to us is the thing that enables us to live our life, the life of purpose. And if we can't hear that, and if we don't listen to that, then somebody else is pulling our strings throughout our whole entire lives. We have to listen within to what is calling our name. That calling is your own divine presence. It is the infinite one within you, leading you into your greatest life, leading you into your greatest self-expression and soul fulfillment. A life of sharing your gifts and talents and pouring yourself out into life. That is one of the reasons that you are here on this planet, to share those gifts. And so my invitation to you this week is to ask yourself, what is it that makes me come alive? And then go out and do it. As you do that, you become a light in this world. And as you shine your light in the world, what happens is it wakes up the light in other people. They feel it. And to ask yourself, how can this thing that I feel passionate about, that makes my heart happy, how can I share that in a way that coincides with meeting a need in this world? And then do that. And then, as a result, you will truly feel alive. You will truly be on purpose. You will absolutely be giving way to that divine presence, and you will be being a beneficial presence in the world, because that's the way it works. And so blessings to every single one of you on this path of self-discovery and soul discovery and bringing your own spirit into this world in a way that is absolutely beneficial to everyone. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. Oh, and so once again, we just take our attention and we turn it inward to that place within us where that divine presence resides. For I recognize and know that that infinite one is all around us as life and as love and as peace and as good without end. As this life stream and life force and love and creativity that is pouring itself forth in and through and as everything in this universe. And I recognize that that same presence is right here within our hearts, within our souls. And today we listen in to that divine calling of purpose, of what we are here to share with this world in a way that benefits us, and in a way that benefits everyone. For this is the call of our own souls. This is the call of the divine, the infinite one, here seeking to express within us and through us and as us. And so today we say yes to that call, and we step forward as the light, and we step forward as a beneficial presence, and we step forward creating meaningful work. What a blessing it is to be awake and aware and walking this path and shining this light and being a conduit and an avenue for the Spirit to express. How grateful I am to be living this life. And so today I know that as we move through our day and through our week, that we are led and that we are guided, and the way is made open and plain and smooth, and the good of the universe flows into our lives and through us and out into this world as this beautiful expression of the divine. And so I just revel in this magnificence of that infinite one. We just marinate in this truth of oneness, of life and of love and of creativity. And it is in that that I release this prayer into that creative womb of the universe, knowing that it is already unfolding itself. For this is divine purpose. And this is how divinity unfolds itself. And so I release this prayer in gratitude, and I let it be, and I say, and so it is.